Are we ready?
I am PC Podcast.
PCP, it's PCP 746. I'm recording this for Friday, the 17th of July 2022. And we began this week with a band called Actors and a track called Obsession. Comes from the Artifact Records, Artifact Records 2021 sampler, which is well, they could have played a couple of tracks from them before, or from that album before, and I might play some more. I rather enjoyed that. It's been a very hot week here in the UK. It is going to be, well, something like 33, 34 degrees, which for the UK is incredibly hot. It's going to come crashing down, I think, over the weekend with thunderstorms. We are having a real mixture of weather. And you know what us Brits are like. We like to talk about the weather all the time, don't we? Yes, we do. Let's stop talking about the weather. Let's talk about this artist, Al Tarba, and a track called Rentrée des Classes. What a classy is, featuring DJ Nixon, and that's from an album called La Fine del Conte, and it's on IoT Records.
Premier octobre, spectacle toujours le même et toujours nouveau. Le premier jour, c'est merveilleux comme on les a. Les maximes les plus sévères sont avalées avec le sourire. Les enfants vont apprendre à lire sans redouter le bruit des sirènes ou le fracas des bombes. Il faut que ce petit monde Rendis ses instruits en paix.
Al Tarba was the particular artist that featured DJ Nixon as well, and that was the Rentrée des Classes, or Classons, from IoT Records, from an album called La Fin del Conte, which is rather good, and I rather enjoyed it. I thought I'd play that for you. Right, I'm going to play one more track, and then we're going to go into an interview I did with Omar Willie. Now, Omar Willie, well, I'll let him explain who he is and what it's all about a bit later, but I had a chat with him a couple of days ago, and it's all about Net Label Day. After you've heard this, this is by Krestovsky. Krestovsky, that's right. And Faux Nouveau Chateau.
fell down to feel the early earth in the early sun. Yes, someday I'll be dazed enough to sink into the garden. Calendar of missing days with a morning buzz. Once all the floors were swept and scrubbed, seen the good word blowing westward. Jehovah loves his bitter bug.
I'm with Omar Willie from Seattle. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Seattle, like you say. And one of those qualities, I suppose, that goes along with that is I publish a magazine from Seattle called the Seattle Star Online. It's been, 11 years now. I've been doing that and my experiment in Creative Commons publishing and trying to make the world a little more interesting, as it were, and see how much we can actually get done within a gift economy, sharing culture, and try to change journalism back to actually serving people. And something like, you know, Harper's or Atlantic way, way back in the late 19th century used to do to get away from the 250 word blurb that's always written by advertisers. So that's what started it. And that's what got me really thinking heavily about Creative Commons way back in 2010. Or so.
Tell me a bit about what is NetLabel Day, as it were.
That's a very good question, because everyone asks me the same thing. I tell them that it's sort of an online version of Record Store Day, where there's an awful lot of music that gets released that day under Creative Commons or other free licenses. And I refer to it sort of as the anti-Spotify, you know, an attempt to get people back to listening to music that they control, and that, more importantly, that they can share and discover for themselves and encourage other people to discover. It's been going since 2015. I came in at the tail end of that as a listener. 2016, things got really, really big for it, where there were a lot more live broadcasts and podcasts to go along with it, including your own, in fact, which started before that. But that's when everybody kind of took notice of it, and it ballooned a little bit. And of course, the pandemic made it deflate a little bit.
And of course, Manuel Silva was the guy that put it together. He's shutting down his MIST label. I didn't actually realize he was doing that.
Mm. Yeah, he's been closing down, and he threatened to shut down NetLabel Day entirely. And I said, no, that's not a thing, Manuel. So I told him that I would take over for him.
What are you hoping to achieve this year?
Well, this year is sort of a holding pattern, I think. I've only been really in charge of it since February, March-ish. I want to make sure that we get back to some live broadcasts, a little bit of concert going, perhaps even live stream concerts and things like that, that hold the event together. And then next year, I will probably pull out the stops a bit on the organ.
Okay, so the live component, do you see that as like a continuous stream that we could all, you know, connect into at some point? And then we could all, you know, one place we could go to, and you could listen to perhaps myself talking for a few hours, and then somebody else, and then eventually come over to you.
That is how I envision it. Whether or not it will actually play out that way is another story. My ideal situation would be we'd start at the international dateline in Auckland, yeah, Wellington, New Zealand time, and then we have something that continues to pass on all the way through the other side of the IDL at Alaska, Hawaii, or, you know, the Cook Islands, if you're that far out.
Yeah, I can imagine that being quite hectic, but fun. but, you know, that's all part of it. That's the important thing. We'll be right back.
You particularly want to get involved in is getting people to use Creative Commons licenses, because there's an awful lot of people out there that give away their music for free on Bandcamp or wherever, or great sites like that, but they stick it with a normal copyright, and you don't want to do that. You want to persuade other people to do that. Tell me more about that. Why?
Obviously, one of the reasons is because Creative Commons itself is important to me. There's the shirt. Yeah. So there is that. But more importantly, I think one of the things that I've been encountering as I talk to people who used to be involved in NetLabel Day and haven't been for 3-4 years, they were insisting, well, NetLabel Day doesn't really matter anymore because big studios release things online now, and net labels release physical media, so the lines are very blurry. And I thought, if we're going to take that seriously, then what we have to do is redefine Net Label Day to be completely distinct in that sense from the studios, and I think concentrating on the Creative Commons license and sharing is absolutely the key to that.
To anybody that's not really been aware of what a Creative Commons license means, why on earth will you do it?
There are times as a musician where you need to consider your actual relationship to music and your actual relationship to your listener. And one of the things that Creative Commons does is it cuts out the commercial aspect of it. We've sort of built a music industry that's built around scarcity, because it was expensive, extremely expensive once upon a time, where only a few people could have record presses and only a few people could actually make albums. And that was a relic of the analog world that we rather inherited. Well, now we have an analog scarcity mentality in a world where digital pressing is instantaneous and instant and extremely low overhead. And it's not expensive whatsoever for musicians themselves to release their own music. And so that particular commercial component that drove the overhead of that industry is now gone. So musicians found themselves thinking, well, I could just go straight to my crowd and not have to go through A&R people. On that level, I think it became very important to come up with a different way of doing things and to mark the music that was being done in that particular way as music that was made specifically for fans rather than for a commercial setting as such, where you would only encounter things through marketplace. The Creative Commons license, what it does is it puts a label effectively on your music that says, hi, I'm here. I want to share something with you. And I want my music also to be shared from you to other people. And I want this to be legal because I think we all still need to respect the law. And if you follow these terms, whatever those terms happen to be, then fine. And that allows the listener a lot more control over their musical experience, but it also allows very basic things like mixtapes to be made legally rather than sort of sublegally or in that bizarre zone that we like to call fair dealing, fair use, depending on the country and, or the culture that you're in. Because officially those things are illegal and have been prosecuted brutally and relentlessly by the MPAA, RIAA, and their lawyers. And Creative Commons takes music out of that zone and says, hi, I'm made to be shared. I don't care about what you do with this as long as you obey my terms, and it's for you, not for me. It's for you and to restore your relationship with me, I think.
Is it that artists, you know, feel that they have to brand, you know, a piece of work as their own, and they just assume that the best way to do it is with a classic copyright? You know, I made this, it's mine. I know I'm going to give it away for free, but maybe in some point in the future I'll get some money out of it. Right. Is that why they're doing it?
Oh, I think that's an amazingly large part of why they do it. I think there's a sort of speculative capitalism that's built into almost everything these days, because we get nonsensical stories like people becoming millionaires off of NFTs and things like that completely on a fluke. And somebody then decides, well, whatever I make might also make money on a fluke. So I have to retain total control over that because I don't want anybody making money that I didn't approve of. Mm. I think there's another piece of that, which Marilyn and I were talking about, Marilyn from Volpiano Records, which is that artists want to choose their fans in a sense, and they want to choose the views that they align with and the uses of their music. Saying that you have a firm copyright, all rights reserved hold on your music allows you to sort of control who uses it and under what purposes, because written permission has to be sought at every single moment. But I think there's also an alternative to that where you can align your views with whomever simply because people are more capable of finding you with a Creative Commons license because your music is shared and because your music is shared by like-minded people. I think that overcomes that sizably.
Let's come back to NetLabel Day.
The first thing that I did when I took over NetLabel Day was to think, okay, how do we get people who have sort of lost faith, as it were, back into the fold? And what can I offer to them that is new in a sense, but also revitalizes them and reconnects them with the reason they got involved with NetLabel Day in the first place? And I think part of that was I just simply had to come up with something very strongly visual that was noticeable. So the logo and the brand on that level was extremely important to me. And it's also important because since it's a Creative Commons-based event in many ways, sharing is important, and sharing needs to carry sort of a brand with it so that it doesn't get lost. And the new NetLabel Day logos are sort of markers for things like that. And of course, the other piece of that is the social media component, where there are banners that have to be done and avatars that have to be done so that people see the same logo over and over and over so that they can associate that with NetLabel Day. That was sort of very fundamental groundwork for me. From the point of view of distribution, I think we've drifted away from the Internet Archive probably a little too much, and we relied on it early on, and the first 2 years of NetLabel Day, everything on NetLabel Day is up on the Internet Archive and labeled as such, as being part of NetLabel Day 2015 or 2016. That hasn't happened in the past 4 years. You have to know that links are going to rot, and therefore there has to be a much more archival library-like place for releases. Otherwise, they simply disappear into the ether. Now, that may be what you want by design, but if it's part of the event, I want the design not to be that way necessarily. I want the event to have a continuous history. We'll be right back.
So what can anybody watching this or heard about NetLabel Day, what could they do to help?
Well, share music is the first one. Okay. That's the most important thing in the world.
You can label it as shared music to do with precisely. NetLabel Day 2021, 22. Okay.
Yeah, it's back to Tim O'Reilly's thing that the artist these days has more to fear from obscurity than he does from piracy, right? And I think that's a very strong driving force in this. There's so much music and so much photography and so much visual art that is available to us that it seems like it's all free when in fact it isn't. It's locked up in various ways and it's controlled in various ways. Now, just because someone doesn't come to you immediately and exercise that control doesn't mean that they won't. And that's the downside of the all rights reserved ways. Like, well, somebody may just decide to delete your book remotely, which of course Amazon has done with Hatchet and various other things. They may decide that you no longer have the right to that track to put it into a music video of yours. You may no longer have the right even to play that track while your baby is dancing in the background because lo and behold, it's been bought by a new company. So marking your music as freely shareable and Creative Commons or Libre in any sense, that's extremely important. I think it's even more important for artists to insist on that amongst each other because the education about the Creative Commons and sharing licenses is so weak in so many ways. As a fan, I think it's good at times to put together playlists and mixtapes and go, hey, this is what I'm interested in. This is my particular curatorial thing, because those things are never, ever, ever going to come up randomly in Spotify or any one of the commercial services because the algorithms don't bend that way. Algorithms don't tell you things that you're going to be interested in based on no data. They only are based on the data that they have, which of course is bought and sold before it even gets to you. So as a fan, I think it's important to distribute things that way also.
There is an importance by the sound of what you're saying that you want to, you really want to make this is something different. And I think that's kind of interesting because I get the impression that most artists don't see it that way necessarily. There may be a bunch of artists that do see it that way and they're all of the same shared vision as yourself. What would you say to somebody who was just starting up as a musician and they have a choice? Where would you recommend they go and why?
at the beginning of one's career, I think that everything should be as freely shared as possible. And I've held to that myself as an artist. I don't think that as you get to be more experienced as an artist, I think that you find different ways of making money from your art. Net Label Day is not about not getting artists paid. The Creative Commons is not about not getting artists paid. The Creative Commons is not there to tell you that you don't have the right to earn a living or that you don't have the right to live and exist. In fact, there's an entire book of Creative Commons strategies for making money off of your Creative Commons licensed work that's out there. And that's only one obvious instance of it. But the first thing as an artist that you have to do is you have to get your name out there if you want to make any money, period. And then once your name is out there, that becomes the coin in a sense that you trade to get your reputation established. And the more established your reputation, the more likely you are to make money. And the commons is actually an excellent way to do that, much, much better than locking your work down and making sure that people don't have access to it unless they write you personally.
Is there any questions I should have asked you, but I failed to think of?
One of the things I find fascinating is this quote unquote rediscovery of podcasting that seems to have happened over the last 3 or 4 years, right? And guys like yourself and Dave are magically, then you've been left out of this sort of official history because podcasts clearly only began once Ira Glass started doing it, right? Or once people started hearing it on the BBC as an official word that was acceptable, right?
Yeah.
Even though podcasting obviously has been around almost as long as the Creative Commons itself has been around, as it turns out.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for your time, Omar. I will keep my listeners and whoever watches this updated with any more information. But we are aiming for July the 14th.
Yes, indeed.
At some point, from somewhere between New Zealand and Hawaii, there'll be a stream somewhere. We just got to find it. So we're going to make sure we label it properly. Find it. And they can be involved. And that will be a rather good thing, I think. So... Thank you very much for your time.
All righty.
So you heard me talking to Omar Willie from the Seattle Star, talking about his involvement in Netlabel Day 2022, and of course my involvement in Netlabel Day, and quite a few other people by the sound of it. He's got quite a big selection of people he's reached out to, which he did in March, to get us to all get involved, which is rather good. And I'm hoping there will be some sort of live stream somewhere in the world, if not necessarily one stream, maybe multiple streams, but we'll do something on the day, which is July the 14th. So put July the 14th in your diary for a live stream at some time. Not sure when, but probably all day, really. Anyway, before that, we heard Krestovsky and Faux Nouveau Chateau. That comes from an album just called Early 22 EP. In the middle, we heard the Free Balkan Quintet, which is a track that's something that is very close to Omar's heart, because he does like his jazz. That was a track called Baba Yaga, that came out on an album called Parvo, on the Polis or POLI5 label from the Czech Republic. And then after a little bit more talk with Omar, we had the Feminals, with a Z, F-E-M-I-N-A-R-Z, with Every Woman, and that's on Kamizdat Records. And that comes from an album called Techno Burlesque, Image Snatchers 3. And then a little bit more chat with Omar. And then final track was by Cloud Warmer, from an album called Doomers, and that was a track called Lorin Kuber, Founding Father. Rather interesting track, and rather interesting titles of some of the tracks on that album. If you want to download it, it's available over at Bandcamp. Yes, it was an interesting chat, wasn't it? I thought it was. Let's move on with more music though. This is by Ziong Liu, Devazios, and the track, is from his album called Harmony, and the track is called Serenity. We'll be right back.
watched from a safe distance,
PC Podcast
is one of the most beautiful sights ever seen by man.
Thank you.
So two tracks for you. The first by Ziungliu Dvazios. I hope that's right. From an album called Harmony, a track was called Serenity, picked up from Bandcamp. And then we had Gobi, as G-H-O-B-I, from an album called Amba, A-M-B-A, and a track called Kono. That's on Spetrorek, which is always a good label worth listening to. Now, a new single just came out on Jumpsuit Records. I've been following Jumpsuit Records for quite a while now, and they put out all the good stuff. This is by Akal Dub, or Akal Dub, and the track is simply called Flip. So Akal Dub there with a track called Flip, which is a single, and it's out on Jumpsuit Records, which you can find over at Bandcamp. Rather nice. Right, we've got one last track. It's quite contemplative and quite slow. So if you're rushing around, try and stop rushing around and have a listen to this track. If you can't stop rushing around, pause and wait until you've got a bit more of a private moment, because you don't think you should enjoy this. This is by Brevin, B-R-E-V-Y-N. The track is called Water Walk, and this is the extended version. which is from an EP, I think, of his on Of All Piano Records. And I know Of All Piano Records, along with all the record labels in this place and this particular podcast, are involved, I think, in that label day. I am not quite as evangelistic about Creative Commons music as I used to be, and as not as much as Omar, but I still believe in the great concept of being able to take some stuff and play it and share it. I do think there is a degree of understanding why people don't want to use Creative Commons licenses, but it is a great thing, and it is, and it does protect you, and it doesn't stop you being, you know, from prevented from making any money, as we have always talked about. And you know, podcasting is you know, sharing good music, and that's what we all want to do. Anyway, I will leave you with Brevin and Waterwalk, the extended version, and I will see you next week. Yeah? See you soon, folks. Thank you.
I want some more.
What?
Please, sir. I want some more.
More?